Welcome to Journals of a Healer, Unleash Your Hidden Genius. As Thoreau said, most people live lives of, what was it, quiet desperation. And that's easy to understand when the days go by and it seems as if you're treading water, you're not getting any closer to your goal. You're kind of up and down emotionally and stressed a lot of times. And honestly, there are people who have the ability to work through to discover and find what is meaningful and important to you in your life and to help you to take steps toward it. And that's the kind of person that we have on today. Susan Streisauer is a multi-talented, multi-educated, has written books and radio, has award-winning workbooks, channeled oracles, oh my goodness, television appearances, and I cannot wait to talk with her. Hello, Suzanne.
Hey, Mary, it's great to be with you.
You know, I'm just thinking about this. When someone is as accomplished and as brilliant as you are, I kind of wondered, how did you start out? What were your dreams and the kind of atmosphere that you grew up in?
Well, the good news, Mary, is that I'm in good company with you to answer that question and your listeners. And so I grew up as a child of a doctor and a research scientist. My father was a doctor. My mother was a research scientist. And so they really kind of, you know, needless to say, there's a lot of intelligence in my family, but they also taught us that, you know, the world is whatever you want to make it and be curious. And so that's the nature or the nurture part. The nature part was energetically I came in completely clairsentient, clairaudient, telepathic, and I was talking to everything in the spiritual world and also here. And so then it was a journey of just trying to figure out, how can I live authentically to that and be connected to that in spite of the fact that we live in a very 3D world.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Sometimes you forget who you're talking to.
That's right. That's so right.
So you were on the balance scale. You were sort of, I can see kind of a teeter totter, pulled going both directions, and trying to make it all work together.
That's right. And I think that not up until, let's say, when I was 50, did I really kind of get that together. And that's when I became a coach. And that was when I really kind of got to use all the best of my psychic, intuitive gifts, hypnotherapy, you know, all those different skills, as well as the tactical skills. Like the other side of that is being a social worker or land developer, all the kind of things that I've done that were very left hemisphere and grounding. And so I'm going to say it wasn't until I was 50 that all that kind of landed in some meaningful way.
That really strikes home with me because I have come to the conclusion that 50 and thereabouts is really a spiritual rebirth for women.
Totally.
I cannot tell you how many women I have known who had similar experiences, and no matter how disparate their approach, you know, their talents and their approach and their lifestyle was, 50 is an amazing time for women.
Yeah, and you know, I've always felt like in numerology, when I think of the number 50 and when I do those kind of readings for people, I always say 50 is the bridge number between spirit and form. And, you know, 50, you're halfway through your life. And 50, you're like preparing for the other side again, you know, and your legacy and all that business. So 50 really is a time, and 50 is when you've accomplished a lot of stuff. So 50 is really a time when you kind of put it all together and say, okay, So who am I? And you start to really own the truth of your being, I feel like.
Yes. And sometimes it is so different from what you thought you were going to be doing with your life.
Right, right. And, you know, a lot of people are having major reassessments, particularly with the new energies coming in. Like, did they, you know, how are they doing with what's going on? Did they, you know, when they have midlife crises? And that's one of the things I talk about with my clients who are mostly in midlife, as I say to them, okay, so has your life delivered on its promise? Or are there other things that you still want to be doing? Are there other energies that still are presencing themselves so that they can really kind of, you know, step up to and get next to themselves again?
Mm-hmm. This, of course, I would imagine you developed over a period of time. It didn't, or did it just land on you like Venus out of the shell?
You know, it's really funny. It's part of it's my own life process and my own journey, but the other part of it is that in working with my clients, things show up. And so mm-hmm. one of the things that I noticed that when my clients would come to me and their lives would be kind of in chaos, the first thing I'd ask them to do is let's take stock of where you are. And, you know, until you really know where you're at, you can't really figure out where you're going to go or what's a meaningful place to go on the one hand. And on the other hand is I would say, okay, before we take any steps forward in any direction, what's your purpose in life? And are you doing that? And if you're not, then there's a big realignment that needs to happen, you know, and then that reassessment so that everything can kind of be synchronized and aligned.
Mm-hmm. This is true. I sometimes use the analogy of a compass in the woods. If you don't know where you are, it doesn't north and south doesn't mean anything.
That's right.
or east
That's
and
right.
west.
That's
but
right.
You,
and, you,
you
know,
really,
then you can go with the flow, but that's, you know, sometimes then you're not necessarily intentionally with the flow unless you're kind of aligned with your mystical self, and then you truly are in the flow and you're just being.
Mm-hmm. But so many of us are where we were told to go.
Right.
Or we're in the job that the guidance counselor said, now we have a shortage of engineers. Now this is what for you to pursue. You'll make a lot
right.
of money as an engineer, and you give all of it to a psychiatrist because you're so miserable because you wanted to play a saxophone in a jazz band.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you know, a lot of the 50-something clients are ready for their breakout moment. They're ready to say, okay, I've been there, done that. Now this next career is going to be something for me.
Great. That's great. So then they come to you and they say they're ready, then how do you discover, help them to really define their true purpose instead of what they've been told?
Well, I have them do a download with me of what they think they know. And so I want to know consciously what they have going on inside of themselves, what's important to them, what they consider their passions, skills, gifts, and talents, their preferences. And so I designed a system, which I now has become, it's the 7 universal life purpose elements that leads you to your own life purpose DNA, and it really is like DNA. So everybody was born at a certain time, came in at a certain time, and they have a cosmic influences. So they have a cosmic blueprint. It's the time of their birth, and that's called an astrology chart.
Mm-hmm.
So the first aspect of purpose is your natal purpose. I mean, what did you come in to do? What was that thing that's printed on your astrology chart? The second one is developmental. And so now developmental is, you know, how old are you? And so that basically breaks out by decade, and that you can use Maslow's hierarchy of needs to kind of figure out where you are, but you know, when I work with clients, I'm much more specific about that.
Good.
And the third is your preferences, you know, what your psychological preferences are. Like, some people are more introverted, some are more extroverted, and you know, what you know, in the Enneagram, what type are you? You know, Myers-Briggs, what type are you? Then in the professional, everybody knows that, their skills, gifts, and talents. And then I have them explore the spiritual. So what are your dreams, your higher calling, inner calling? What are your dreams telling you? And then the mystical, which is the beingness. And just if you could just stand still and embody yourself, just feel that. And what shows up then. And then the last part is transitional. So here you are today. What's important to you today, which is different than what was yesterday perhaps, or, you know, the last decade, but what's important for you today and what kind of transition do you want to make? So what I have people do is make kind of like a holographic composite, their life purpose DNA, and then we go from there.
Oh, that's marvelous. And since you came in so aware and so in contact and communication with this with the spirit of all that is, all that is out there and that most people don't even know exists, does that aid you and does that help you to point them in directions that the average person wouldn't know about?
That's a great question, Mary. And I'm going to say yes and no. The way the no is that until people get to a certain point, they don't want to talk about the spiritual stuff. It's too woo-woo. It's like I'm just trying to figure out my life, so you know I can't be bothered with that other stuff. So there's that part of it. But the other part, which is I think the more important part, is that a lot of times people... And it's, you know, took me aback when it first happened, but it happens a lot now, is when people will focus on me, they'll all of a sudden start to vibrate. You know, like they'll get the goosebumps, they'll have a different sensation or feeling come over themselves, right? And so, and I could be in the room, not in the room. And so what I say now is that, you know, there's a certain field that I have and that people who work with me are in that field. So there's a certain osmosis component that it just, they absorb and they integrate that way. So I don't need to say anything about it, and it's going into them.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I was thinking of the guidance that you receive and the energy and the awareness that, that you work with.
Yeah, it's always present with me. So it's absolutely present with me in all my sessions. Now, do I tell everything that comes through? No.
No.
And then sometimes instead of being a coach, I'm a psychic, and when I'm doing the intuitive readings, then I will tell them all that stuff, but they've come for that, and so then I tell them that way, and then those sessions I actually reverse engineer. So I'll do the psychic reading. I don't want to know anything about them, and then after that, we'll do some spiritual coaching, and I'll talk to them about, okay, so here's how I see you interpreting and using this in your life and how this makes sense to apply, and so I do it reverse, but otherwise... I wait till people are hungry for spirit, and then I, you know, it'll always be present with me in the session, and like I say, the osmosis part. But over time, they'll actually say, "Wait a minute, now I want to develop that too." And then you know, that's when you get to take them on the journey of spirit and becoming a light worker and wherever else that's going to go.
I hear you. That's tremendous. Yeah, I really love that. That integral approach that excites me a lot, because I function in quite similarly, and I really appreciate the clarity and the way that you have of expressing things that most people are not even aware of.
Well, thanks, Mary. I mean, and one of the things, you know, I feel like I'm a teacher and a coach. And a mentor and a coach. And so part of that is, how is it that I can language it in a more universal way that people can understand, that anybody can understand, and make it so it is available for everybody in a way that's, you know, palatable to people and that they want to hear and they want to listen to and they want to engage with.
And how have people changed? Could you give us an example of a few people that you've worked with and how the changes in their lives occurred and the tremendous advantages that, that your teaching and your mentoring can bring?
Sure. So I've set up, my work currently is set up personally, professionally, and spiritually. And so, you know, sometimes people come to me for just, you know, like life issues, like I've got chaos and, you know, okay, now what do I do? And so right now I'm actually have a client, and she's an amazing woman raising three autistic kids, has taken in over the course of the year 600 rescue dogs, most of them with special needs. And she has a full life, and she's starting a business. And when she came to me, she was completely in a meltdown, completely in overwhelm. And, you know, life wasn't working because it was just too much. And so helping her sort out how to, okay, what's important, what isn't, how do we take the next steps, how do we see your business going from here to the next place. So she started with me in the end of November, December she started with me. So now here it is in the beginning of March, and she's hired four new people, her business has tripled, and she's much more settled. So that's an example of a personal one. So that's more, you know, down-to-earth, everyday life stuff. Then an example of a professional one, and this one I love. This woman came to me. She is a high-powered attorney, and she did mergers and acquisitions work. And she was sick of her career, and she was sick of her job, and she really wanted to do something different. And, you know, she was very soft, and yet she worked with really adversarial partners in her practice, because everybody that came to her wanted their piece of the pie and didn't want, you know, if I win, you lose. It was not about win-win.
Oh, yeah.
And so when she, when she came to me, she was, like, so done with that. And so we talked about it, and I said, first she said she wanted to work with watercolors. I said, well, good, try that out for a little while, see what you think. And, you know, she's pretty type A, so that didn't work. But I had to let her explore for herself. And then she said, you know, I have this sacred garden in the backyard at my house, and I love being out there, and I talk to angels and the spirits and nature. And I said, well, that's perfect, and I want you to go and first I had her do something with her chakras, where I had her go and talk to each one of her chakras and ask them what they felt like their purpose was here on the planet, what that energy was in its purpose. So she got to see it from the perspective of inside of her body and how all that lined up and, you know, connected. And then I said, I want you to talk to the angels and ask the angels, you know, what they want you to be doing. And they told her to bring in divine right order. And so literally she was the mouthpiece of the angels for bringing in divine right order in this dimension, so that people got to be right and that there was the right things happening down here. And she was thrilled to just have that minor tweak, minor shift, and then to get about her business. So it can be profound and yet very simple all at the same time. And it doesn't take a lot of time either. Both of these women I'm mentioning as clients, all that stuff happened within 3 months.
You know, the image I got was, you know, if you have a giant wheel, like the old-fashioned wagon wheels, if you're on the perimeter, it's very hard to change the direction you're going. But if you go on the hub, it's very easy.
Oh, what a great, great metaphor, Mary.
I see you going right to the hub. This was a picture I got. Whammo.
Right.
Amazing.
And, you know, that's the truth. That is where I go. And interestingly enough, I will do that with people in the first 30 minutes of my free consultation with them. So, you know, I like to kind of hit the ground running with clients. So the question I always start with people is, you know, what brings you here today and what do you want to accomplish? And then I just let them talk. And then, you know, you listen to the threads, and it'll immediately take you to the places you need to go. I just got another client recently. She's got a big, successful company, but there were problems. And in the first 30 minutes, I said, and this is all free time. This was my complimentary session. I said, here's what I see for you, and here's what you need to, I would recommend doing differently. And so she said, I asked her what her goal was. She said, I want you to give me one action step I can take away with out of this session. So I framed the bigger issues for her that she was working through. She's like, oh, my God, how do you know that? And then I gave her one action step. And needless to say, that's this last week, and it's transformed. informed the senior management in her corporation. And so,
oh my goodness,
you know, it doesn't take a long time. And, you know, I love dynamic people and clients who want to make a difference and, you
mm-hmm.
know, professionals who are in places that what they do makes a difference on the planet, and facilitating them to be able to do what they need to do and get it done, you know, easily, effectively, and with some grace and, you know, enjoyment.
Wow, that's sensational. I understand that you also work with young people. And to me, that is so exciting because you might be able, you're counseling it, you might be able to save somebody years of going in the wrong direction.
You know, so true, Mary. I went and I wrote in 2012, I went and wrote a workbook called 111 Inspirational Life Purpose Quotes and Exercises to Find Your Purpose in Life. And my whole purpose with my workbook, so All About Your Life Purpose, a way to access their true purpose and in a way that they would undeniably know it. And that was by, you know, there's 111 exercises and quotes, and there's I told people to do 25 out of the workbook. And you pick the 25. But what will happen is because your life purpose is a single focus, no matter what the question is, it will be some form of the answer of your life purpose. So all roads lead to Rome. And then what I have people do is to, you know, really think about that and then make a statement and then go on from there so that they find their purpose. Well, one of the things that happened after I got the workbook done was that a woman approached me and she said, will you turn this into a curriculum for me, for high school kids? And I'm like, what? I don't even know how to write a curriculum. So she told me she'd show me how. And then another 18 months later, I actually turned that workbook into a mainstream curriculum for high school kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how many high schools are using this curriculum?
You know, right now just a couple because it's just been out for about 6 months. So there's a few. But, you know, always looking for more schools and homeschools and places that want to do it. And the other thing is that I actually have streamlined it further because, you know, my goal is, okay, how can we get there with a limited, you know, limited time and energy and, you know, in as quick a point of time as we can. I've actually set up that I can now do a life purpose profile with somebody in an hour. So the whole process of learning your life purpose DNA and your blueprint, I can do with a client in an hour.
For years, one of my best friends was a PhD psychiatrist. She was one of the founders of Esalen, and she would call me up every once in a while and say, Mary, how many ongoing clients do you have? And I said, I don't have ongoing clients, Betsy. I don't drag things out. I blitz. And she would chuckle, and she would say, you blitz yourself right out of business. So.
Yes, indeed.
I thought my job was to bring people to the point where they didn't need me.
That's right. I feel the same way, Mary. I like to launch my clients. So, you know, if they're going to do, like, some major big spiritual work, they'll stay with me for a couple years. But then I'll get them so that they're really proficient energetically. But if I'm just helping people get, like, you know, some kind of personal or business coaching done, they don't need to stay with me that long. You know, 3 to 6 months and we're done.
Right.
Unless they want to delve into something deeper and more spiritual. But otherwise, they've got what they needed.
Yep. I agree. This this is just so exciting to me because I feel as if we are speaking on a level that we both are saying, yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah, we are very parallel in philosophies and in work and, you know, everything like that.
So with your books, this excites me because we can only reach so many people one-on-one. And even of course, even in your lectures and then you go further out and you reach wider and deeper with your radio, But the books are there is something that can be kept and can be looked at 50 years from now. Who knows? They might consider, you know, this is a pivotal bit of information that was given to civilization. Who knows? You know. But so how do you start to write a book and why?
I 9 times out of 10, I start to write because there's some need that I want to address.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, see it with my clients. I see it with, you know, people. So my first book was actually a fortune-telling book, The Runes of the Four Realms. And that book I wrote because, I had a download of a whole symbol set, and so obviously that was for a reason. So that was to help people connect with the divine and the different realms of energy and the different elements and that grid of energy, so people could be more conscious and aware of that. So that was my first book, like I say, The Runes of the Four Realms.
Then now, wait a minute. This is the Runes, R-U-N-E-S,
yep,
of the Four Realms.
And it's not like it's not the same symbols as the old Viking runes. These are 21st century symbols, and
okay,
they're simple, and they form a grid of energy. And
now, where can someone get this book?
They can buy it in two places. It's available on Amazon, of course, and
mm-hmm.
then they can also find it on my website. And if they find it on my website, they can. I also have handmade runes, so they can buy either just with like rune cards, like tarot cards in the book,
uh-huh,
or
uh-huh.
they can get actual runes, wooden runes with the symbols painted on them. So
uh-huh.
that's available on my website, yournextstepcoach.com.
Oh, great. So then after that, I presume that you had a lot of feedback from it and people telling you how special it was for them.
It was, and it impacted people. And for years, I had an online oracle where people could do the runes for free, and there was over 150,000 readings done on that site.
Wow.
And
is
then,
that site still available? Or are you
no,
thinking?
It's not. Otherwise, I'd tell your listeners. But it's unfortunately not with the changing of technology and all this evolutionary stuff. You know, and my computer guy, he didn't keep up with all that, so
with
the last iteration, that whole thing went away. But so there were the runes, and then there was my life purpose workbook, which I mentioned, and then after that, actually before all that, I wrote a screenplay.
Oh.
And then I went and I wrote the workbook. I wrote a book completely in tweets, and then I wrote... Oh, my God, what's the most recent project I did? There's even one more I can't remember right now. And then the curriculum, which is another length of a book.
Uh-huh. I would imagine it would be, sure. Because you're presenting sort of revolutionary things that have to be carefully explained, or otherwise they might do it in a way that would be less than... desirable.
Right. Well, and what's interesting is that when I wrote the curriculum, you know, I had to immediately scrub the spiritual and mystical, which, you know, because the whole business of God in some school, oh my God, what
yeah,
about that?
I
but
know.
Anyways,
I know.
So I had to scrub all that. But when I was writing the curriculum, there was this light that flowed through me, through my hands, into the computer that I could actually see. And then through the light, this beautiful golden light, I could actually see the kids doing what I was writing as the lessons in that moment into that curriculum.
Uh-huh. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So
they
didn't
lose it.
How's the feedback from that so far?
You know, the people that have loved it, the kids that have worked through it, love it.
Uh-huh.
Love it. And needless to say, it's a really unique curriculum in that it's a 15-week model, and so, you know, when the normal school year is 30 weeks. And so the first 5 of those 15, what we do is I have them just find their life purpose. And they work as a group in the class. They give each other feedback, so they teach each other how to communicate and give feedback. And I teach them the models of coaching, the language of coaching, of how you give feedback, so they can learn how to communicate effectively. And I tell them they don't get to share their life purpose with their parents until week six. So in week six, they're solidly knowing what their purpose is. Then in week six through 10, I have them explore the possible careers, sectors, industries, career clusters, all sorts of things, so that they can figure out what they want to be doing with that purpose. So we start to make it tangible. And then in the last 5 weeks, I have them go out and do informational interviews, networking with their local communities, and actually going to see if what they think they want is their job is really what they think they want.
Well, that is pretty amazing to me. I have four children, and I found that the schools were very inadequate.
Totally.
I had.
And you were a good parent, Mary. You were a good parent. You were an involved parent. Imagine for kids, inner city kids who have none of that. This whole thing falls apart.
Oh, unbelievable. But this was quite a long time ago because I'm much older than you are. But I was not allowed to teach them at home. However, I could supplement all I wanted to do, and so it wasn't hard for me to read Shakespeare to them, you know.
Right.
and to have them doing various crafts subjects and learning things at home. And that made a huge, huge difference, but sometimes it caused them trouble with the teachers because when a teacher insisted that Comedy of Errors was not written by Shakespeare, that was a tricky period.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, just all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think we need to teach kids and people how to be empowered and to be in their own power and wisdom and everything else. And so anything that can happen to make that happen, that's what I came to this planet in this lifetime to do.
It sounds like a noble purpose to me. And you're definitely on your way. And how many people would you say really are in that kind of a position right now?
That's a good question. I mean, I think there's even layers of that, Mary. So, for instance, like if you use Hawkins' scale of consciousness, and, who's 700 or more, there's some talk that if there were 1,000 people functioning at that level, the planet would look different, that it would be much more positive. When I've, asked for guidance about how many people it would take to change the auric field around the Earth into a positive vibration around the planet, I was shown 1,600,000 people. So I don't know what that number is. So I can say, okay, well, how many people are living their lives on purpose? And I'd say, I don't know even what that number is, because there was a study that I did when I was doing some of the research for all this that said 80% of people are dissatisfied with their jobs.
Absolutely. Probably even higher than that. I think that's a conservative estimate.
I can't even believe that. I mean, I've been such a free spirit my whole life. It's incomprehensible to me that people would stay in something that they didn't like, and yet the number's so high, and then, people only staying in a job 2.5 years. I mean, that's incomprehensible. So does that mean people are living on their purpose? Probably not. So a small number, I'm going to say, Mary, I was thinking more optimistically, but as you kind of make me do some reductionistic thinking there, it's like maybe not so many. I mean, I'm sure millions, but,
we have to settle for something that is going to quickly help us pay the bills to stay alive.
Well, and they don't have to be mutually exclusive. But, one of the things when I was doing the research, I found as well is that there are 500 million people a month searching in some form to find your life purpose on Google. And so that's one in 14 people is trying to find their purpose in life.
Oh, wow. That is a good sign. It actually is a good sign because I remember a time when nobody would even thought about the possibility of having a life purpose. It was, you know, you come in at 9 o'clock, you leave at 5 on Friday, you collect your check.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think a lot of times people default into their careers and they say that's their purpose. And what I tell people is that's your life purpose expression. That's not your purpose. It's just one way that in this moment you're choosing to express your purpose. And so,
right.
You know, like my father was a doctor and, of course, his job was to heal people. But, you know, was that really his purpose? That was a default based on his job.
Right. Exactly. And did you ever glean what his purpose was?
Well, I think my father in this lifetime, okay, so this is a really interesting piece of this conversation. I haven't had this part of this conversation with anybody ever on another interview, Mary, so this is really kind of interesting. So I think one of my father's parts of my father's life purpose was to be able to work through a lineage of, you know, just things that didn't go right in a whole family line, and so his job was to that there was three generations of doctor in my father's family before him, so he was a third sort of generation of that, and then.
Right.
Except for the fact that I couldn't stand all the school to be a psychiatrist, I would have done that and kept it four generations. So instead I do it as a coach and a, you know, psychic and a hypnotherapist.
Uh-huh.
But I think part of his purpose was to come in and work through some of the karma of his family line, which wasn't bad. It was more on the deprivation side, even though he came from a good family. Just, you know, he had a tuberculosis and he had meningitis in his brain, and they had to scrape the lobes of his brain. So, you know, just some
mercy.
Really kind of, yeah, some really intense things that kind of colored who he was in his life, and I think he had to work through that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you saw, with your awareness, saw it on more than one level.
I did. And unfortunately, as a child, you know, you don't ask your parent, well, how come you turned out this way, right?
Yeah, right.
But it, you know, what made this happen? Or how come you behave that way? But as you get older, you know, and all of a sudden it's, you know, your life and your creation and not theirs anymore, then you have to really start to take ownership of that and what indeed is, you know, their part and your part and how does all that work? And so, you know, then you have to kind of go back and recalibrate yourself. And that's another one of the things I do with my clients is I help them recalibrate all that. And, you know, what's mine, what's yours, and getting back to their own sense of wholeness and sense of self.
That's exactly the direction I was going.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually we learn much more from our parents' mistakes than from their virtues. And,
right.
And so, and the retrospection and the clarity that you were able to bring to that task in reevaluating and on a much higher level and a clearer level what your father was all about. I'm sure it's tremendously helpful to you in working with other people.
Totally helpful. And you know, I use my life experience to really inform how I am with my clients. And my clients really kind of take me on an intuitive journey every session, you know, because I'm just kind of like a blank slate and then just let what roll out, whatever's supposed to roll out. And, you know, because I trust that process, everything just kind of happens fine with that. And, you know, things get to flow.
You know, I've had some pretty bizarre things happen to me in my lifetime, and I consider it on-the-job training. And it's interesting that it gives me insight into other people's situations that otherwise I never could possibly have understood.
Yep, and that's for sure true. And you know just how those things happen, and what we do with that, and you know the other thing is, and this is kind of a sort of off topic, Mary, but one of the other things that I'm working with a lot of clients right now is. There's a lot of what I want to say is from a psychological perspective, they call intrusive thoughts. And
yes.
So, how do we have intrusive thoughts? How does that come in? How does that relate to your life purpose? Are they even really your thoughts? You know, what thought are you thinking? Is it your thought? And so, one of the things that I'm working with clients to do now is that lots of the people on the planet now are helping heal. What's going on the planet at an energetic and at a collective level. And so all of a sudden, you know, I tell people, yeah, you know, there'd be times when I was driving and all of a sudden I'd have this crazy thought. And then at first I thought it was, you know, psychologically kind of nuts. And then all of a sudden I realized that's not my thought. That happened upon me as I was driving. And so now I'm telling people that, you know, you're helping to clean up the collective by when one of those thoughts comes to you, by just giving it back to the light and shifting that. Like you just, you know, pulled that lottery number off the board.
I see what you mean. I have been given something that to use, and it was direct from spirit. I have what I call my psychic security blanket.
Oh, nice.
And it acts as a filter. I think of it, you know, it lets the love in, it lets the positive things, it lets the creative flow go, but it kind of keeps the bugs out, you know, the bad vibes.
Nice.
And it,
nice.
It's quite remarkable. I mean, sometimes you can kind of see the bugs splatting against the screen, kind of thing. It's a fascinating thing, and it was just something that was given to me by spirit. And I'm primarily spirit taught, so I have no forbidden things. There's no have tos and no can't under any circumstances things. It, whatever happens, whatever I'm impelled to do, I do. You know, I just have given. When you dedicate yourself as an instrument of divine purpose, that's kind of how it goes, you know?
That's so true. So true. I wouldn't have it any other way either.
Nope.
No.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's miracles happen. And if your cognitive end of you is so involved in and so determined to make sense of it, you're liable to lose the whole thing before it gets underway.
Right. So true.
So I would love to have you give your website again, and the way to contact you. Because I'm pretty sure that a lot of people are going to be very excited by this interview.
Well, thanks, Mary. So everybody can go to my website, yournextstepcoach.com. And again, that's yournextstepcoach.com. And I offer free 30-minute sessions for people who want to go deeper with what we've talked about. And you can also find a contact form there, so if anybody wants to get a hold of me, they can just do it through my website. Books are there. Everything's there.
That's really great. You know, if you had just a little bit of time to say something to the audience that is meaningful to you and you feel that it's important for you to give to them, what would that be?
I'm going to give them a really optimistic way of looking at life, and that is, you know, a lot of people are in, you know, jobs that have doldrums and they're bored and they don't like their job. And they say, well, how can I? So I tell people, you are always living your life on purpose, whether you know it or not. And the thing that's interesting is that even if you're not, don't know your life purpose, you're gathering your skills, gifts, and talents so that when you know your purpose, you actually will be living it and have the tools you need to express it. And so, you know, you're either being or becoming with your life purpose, and that once you know it, then you can go full stream ahead, and everything up until that point was in service to you being able to do whatever it was you came here to do on the planet this lifetime.
Thank you. Again, there's such a parallel. When people, especially young people, come to me complaining about the boring job that they have, I said, look, learn everything that you can about that job, because someday, no matter how irrelevant you think it is right now, someday you're going to find yourself in a position where something you learned here is going to come in handy.
That's right. That's so true.
And if you think of yourself as constantly growing and constantly gathering information that can be valuable to you or to someone that you care about and know or to the world, then how can you complain?
That's right. That's so true. And then also, if you're doing that, you're, by definition, living on purpose. Maybe not your favorite form or life purpose expression that you wanted, but you're here as a contribution.
And honestly, I have known too many people that kind of frittered away their life doing things that didn't matter.
Mm.
And
that's a shame. Yeah.
To
but
me,
you
that
know,
is, it's a waste.
It is. But here's the interesting thing, Mary. You know, one of the other things is that I look at, so with the hypnotherapy work I'm doing so much lineage work, so much continuum work and healing lineages now. It's most of what my hypnotherapy work is. And so one of the things that I know is if they're in some lifetime like that, that they've chosen to need to fully experience that in this lifetime to work it that much further through for the next time. And so, you know, if they don't do hypnotherapy or, you know, something to do some shamanic work of some sort or other to go and shift that or elevate that energy, they may be dedicating their life to learning something that their soul, for whatever reason, needed to experience, whether they know
or that they thought they needed to
right.
experience. Because sometimes
right.
I find that a soul newly freed from a body and gathering the smidgens of the knowledge that's available, but the part that comes in just when after you leave the body, and they make a quick decision and they don't think it through. And make a choice that doesn't really make a lot of sense in the long run.
Yep. Yes, indeed. Well, if they don't get it right in this lifetime, they get to come back and take another stab at it next go-round, you know? And so,
that's for
sure. That's why I think, you know, people who provide services like you and I are so valuable to humanity, is that we help facilitate that process and help people move along, even if they don't understand, it helps them get there and gives them the tools to do that without having to spend a whole lifetime at it.
Do you ever get glimpses of other lifetimes and reasons, some of the reasons for the things that don't seem to make sense, that just don't compute?
Always. I mean, I actually go looking for that. So, yeah, always.
That has been very important in my work, too.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when I take people into other lifetimes, and we, with spirit help, we actually rewrite history and eliminate karma.
There you go, and that's what needs to happen. You know,
yeah.
And thank God it can be done so much quickly, and so you do it with you know, much elegance and grace and ease that people can get there without, you know, having to spend a whole lifetime in turmoil all along that journey.
Exactly. I mean, how many times can you walk the same rut?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, just as as we're winding down here, any last thoughts?
No, I just I want to just let people remember that, you know, you're here as a blessing to this planet, and to not be hard on yourself and not be hard on the planet. That your light is all that you need to bring forth. The being that you are is all that you need to bring forth. And that, you know, if you just get out of your own way, it's easy to do.
Great. And I'd like to end these sessions with a little guided imagery. Is that good with you?
Perfect.
Okay. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. And tense your body. The whole body. Just your whole body's a fist. Belly button, the toes, the scalp, everything. Until you're trembling and then collapse like a rag doll. Which is a wonderful way to totally relax your body very fast. And focus all of your intention under your nose. And as you breathe, just float on that breath. Just as if you're sort of surfing or floating away. Floating in. As you exhale, just let go of anything that is bothering you, anything that might get in your way in any way. Float away. Take another deep breath, and with each inhaling, we're floating through the layers of consciousness. Deeper and deeper, clearer and clearer. Until you find yourself in that perfect place within, where no harm can come to you, where everything is available for you, the nurturing, the healing, the beautiful peace. And just make way for anything that Spirit might gift you with at this moment. And give thanks for that. And then just begin to stretch. Wiggle your fingers and toes. Open your eyes, returning to what we sometimes refer to as normal consciousness. There you go. Suzanne, we must do this again sometime.
Thanks, Mary. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
And as we usually end, with love and light.